Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Football won't be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for your sports betting needs. Head over to the website and use your mobile devices to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. Right to Olympic coverage, it's the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. BetterHelp is accustomed to online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why invest in everything else and not your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Eagles Unfiltered listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/eagles. That's BETTERHELP.com/Eagles, EAGLES. Take the time out, get your mental health in the right state of mind, and go to BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month by just listening to this podcast. That's BetterHelp.com/Eagles.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one. Hurts. Keeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered, powered by the Believe Podcast Network and sponsored by BetOnline.ag. The Eastern Conference Finals, the Western Conference Finals are going on right now. Win some money on BetOnline.ag with promo code Believe, BLEAV. Co-host Connor Miles, my co-host Ed Kraz, as always. And Ed, what a wonderful offseason it's been. Hire Roseman has topped off this wonderful, wonderful offseason that he's had with multiple moves of huge magnitude to make this team a contender going forward under Jalen Hurts. With the addition of James Bradbury now, the outside cornerback released by the New York Giants last week, he signed a one-year, $10 million deal with the Philadelphia Eagles to answer that cornerback two spot that we've all been questioning about. And Ed, to be honest with you, quite frankly, we were fooled about because we thought, you know, they're going to give the young guys a chance. We take this every year. And then they always end up bringing in that veteran guy anyway. So after they get to see those guys up close, same thing here with James Bradbury. Great addition. Struggled last year in New York, as we all know. Gave up 8 touchdowns, according to Pro Football Focus, and over a pass rating over 100. But I think going to a dependent zone scheme where it fits his skill set a little bit more. As you saw, not his last season in Carolina because they switched to a press system and he kind of struggled there. But the season prior, when he played completely zone, he was a top cornerback in the league. Then he signed with the New York Giants as one of the best corners in free agency. And they gave him a huge deal for doing so. So his first season in New York was shut down. He shut down for New York. This past season wasn't quite the case. New York had to move on because they couldn't afford to pay him that much for the production that he gave. And now the Eagles reap the benefits of that. So, Ed, my question to you is, to me, it looks like when the Doug Peterson experiment, you know how Howie stepped away the first time when Chip Kelly took over and he had to, you know, recreate himself, recreate his image. And he did so, and he won a Super Bowl doing so. It seems when the Doug Peterson era and the Carson Wentz era failed, Howie had to do that again, where he had to take a step back, reflect, see what went wrong, and progress moving forward. And I would say to you, Ed, the 2021 draft and this offseason looks like a whole new Howie Roseman. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, kudos to Howie Roseman for sure. I mean, we went into this offseason thinking, okay, they're nowhere near ready to compete, maybe in a year or two. But now you have to readjust those expectations. You know, obviously James Bradbury, huge, huge addition. But, you know, you just look at the additions of the other veterans. Hassan Reddick, you know, 23 and a half sacks the last 2 years. Probably will get a double-digit sack total from him this year, I would guess. And A.J. Brown. I mean, those three additions alone, you know, guys that have proven themselves in the NFL, you know, raise those expectations that, yeah, why not the Eagles this year? Why couldn't they in an NFC that, you know, obviously it has the Rams, you know, Super Bowl champions. That's a tough matchup. And the Packers still have Rodgers and Brady's back in Tampa. But, you know, why can't the Eagles push to get at least to the NFC championship game? Yeah. And I think it all goes, you know, you have to credit Howie there. I mean, just what he did. And then you top off the fact that what he did in the draft by bringing in the two Georgia defenders, in Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean, just, you know, it's amazing what he's done. And, you know, Bradbury, talking about him specifically, I mean, the Giants did sign into that big deal and, it was too big of a deal for their salary cap. They had to cut him. You know, we talk about, okay, yeah, he was rated poorly by PFF last year. But listen, the guy had four interceptions last year, a career high. He's got 15 interceptions in 6 years. That's almost three per season. Maybe he did struggle last year, but he also did a lot of good things. And believe me, if the Giants didn't have salary cap issues, he wouldn't have been cut. The Giants would have been happy to bring him back. But they didn't have enough money to even sign their draft picks, so they had to do something. And you know, Bradbury was a casualty to the Eagles' good fortune. And, you know, apparently Bradbury had 11 offers or 11 teams had reached out to him. He cut the list to three and he picked the Eagles at the expense of leaving some money on the table because he thinks he's a perfect fit in this defense that Jonathan Gannon's going to play. So, you know, it couldn't have worked out any better for the Eagles. You know, had they not gotten Bradbury, you're looking at two or three unproven young starters that or players that would have been battling to start opposite Darius Slay with, you know, Zach McPherson, Tay Gow, and Kerry Vincent, and who knows who else. But now you've got, you know, a 28-year-old. He'll be 29 in August. You have a 28-year-old that's going to come in, and he's starter number two. And, you know, suddenly Slay and Bradbury might be the two best starting cornerback tandems in the NFC. You know, that's just amazing to me that what Howie's been able to do in this offseason.
Plus, I mean, you know, we'll forget. I think James Bradbury made the best decision for his career because he has to rejuvenate his market. He has to get that big deal again. And what he decided to do was go to a team that was set at cornerback one and nickel. We can't forget that. Avonte Maddox played stellar play last year. Yep. They are set at nickel with how Avonte Maddox adjusted to this system. When I'm looking at it, I'm James Bradbury. I'm looking at the situation saying I'm most likely with the way those slot wide receivers are going in nowadays or where they're lining slot receivers up, I'm most likely going to face the second or third best wide receiver on that team or the second or third passing option against posing offenses. It's not going to be me going against the number one guy anymore.
Yeah,
that's an appealing situation for a guy who's going to have to look to cash in next year. And if I'm the Eagles, I'm like, look what we just did for Steve Nelson.
Yeah,
he got paid. He got paid from the Texans, and nobody would have thought he got paid that much from the Texans. If you want to come here, join this zone-dependent scheme that you thrive in. You're way more adjusted to zone than you are press, and you don't have to be the number one guy, let alone maybe even the number two because of how great Avonte Maddox has been. Yeah, yeah, situation's beautiful. I think everybody's just saying, what about safety now? What about safety? But I think, you know, with this cornerback trio, with the additions that they made at linebacker, because you're White and N'Kobe Dean, I think they're going to be fine with Marcus Epps and Anthony Harris, in their opinion. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be quite done there yet. I can still see them bringing in one more guy. depending on Kayvon Wallace's development and how he looks during OTAs and training camp. But right now, I think it's fine to pencil in Marcus Epps and Anthony Harris as your starting safeties. I think the secondary is all but set, other than depth.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that safety depth is a little thin, after Epps and Harris. I mean, yeah, Kayvon is part of that mix, and, you know, who knows, you know, how he's developed. And then you have, you know, Jared Maiden, and they brought in Reed Blankenship as an undrafted free agent. But, you know, that to me is the only question. I think Epps will be, you know, fine as a starter. You know, is he Jesse Bates, the Bengals, disgruntled safety that wants perhaps to be traded, or is he, you know, Chuck Clark? I don't know. Maybe he's not quite at that level, but, you know, he is sufficient enough, I think. But it's just what happens if, you know, somebody gets hurt. You know, Harris missed a couple games last year with hand injuries. Then what? Then you get, you know, real thin, real fast. So that's my only concern at safety. But, you know, just getting back to Howie again for a minute. I don't want to hear fans next year complain about Howie Roseman when the free agency starts and you're 2 weeks in and you're sitting there with one player. You know, everybody was calling this offseason a disappointment, not even understanding that there was months and months to go before your team roster is solidified. And yet fans were so down on what he was doing and ripping him and, you know, saying, oh, all these great free agents are coming off the board. Well, here we are mid-May, and look at the Eagles now. You know, this isn't a sprint coming out of the starting gate when free agency opens. It's a marathon. And, you know, Howie Roseman has a plan, and he's going to stick to that plan. So, please, next year, do me a favor and don't complain when free agency starts and the Eagles just kind of sit on their hands. They're waiting. They're waiting for the right moment to pounce. And that's what happened this offseason. We see it every year. We saw him add Steven Nelson at cornerback last year in July. I mean, fans need to be a little bit more patient and give this thing time to simmer, give the offseason some time to percolate. And now look at the Eagles now. They've had probably the best offseason of any team in the NFL.
Oh, bold statement there, but completely true, because, you know, when they won the Super Bowl, most of the major moves were made a week before the draft and the week after the draft. You know, you do have to be patient with this process. The offseason is very long, and the Eagles had assets that were meant to be used during the draft time, as they showed. I completely agree with that, though. They have one of the best offseasons in the NFL. I think Howie Roseman's flipped a complete different page. That's why I just wanted to bring that up. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, you know, now it's up to the players to come in and to gel together and to live up to these expectations. I mean, you know, Howie has done his job, okay? We can't go into the season now, and if this thing falls flat on its face, it's not Howie's fault. He put the pieces in place. Now it's time to make sure. And TJ Edwards said this. We had Eagles availability during the week this week. And, you know, TJ Edwards said, now it's up to these guys to come in. We do things a certain way here. And now it's time for these guys that have played to understand the way we do things, buy in, and let's take off from there. So now it's on the players. It's on the coaches. But Howie's done his job.
Well, I'll tell you right now, guess who has no excuses now for after all the moves that are made? Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah. Yeah, Gannon is for sure. I don't want to say the hot seat because, you know, the guy had two head coaching interviews last year. But, yeah, his second year, again, it was something that some of the players talked about when we had them the other day, about how vital it is to have, you know, your defensive coordinator back for a second season. Now you kind of know what to expect, what kind of person he is. It's the Eagles' advantage that he didn't get a job and come back. And yet, again, here we go. The fans were clamoring for Jonathan Gannon to get a job because they didn't want him to come back. But, you know, inside the locker room, it's a little bit different story. Inside that NovaCare complex in Philadelphia, it's a different story. And they're all happy to have Jonathan Gannon back. And I said this repeatedly last year that it's not a Jonathan Gannon problem with this defense. It's a personnel problem. Now he has his personnel, and if it doesn't click – then it's a Gannon problem. But right now, you know, he's got the parts, he's got the pieces, and now it's time to make sure they're all on the same page and they get a good game plan week in and week out and take this team to the next level.
I mean, the corners are there. The edge rusher is there. The nose tackle that you want to really set the tone for the up front is there. And the linebackers. The linebackers that you finally needed are there. No excuse for Jonathan Gannon right now. He has to step up this year for the Eagles defense. I mean, at least I agree with you, though. Like we said it multiple times on this podcast, the personnel just didn't match what he wanted to run. Now it does. So let's see what it goes from there. And let's see if these head coaching interviews were justified.
They got 12 linebackers, 12 linebackers on the roster. I mean, this, again, Howie gets a lot of grief for not drafting linebackers in the first round. But listen, he rebuilt that whole room. You know, he added Kaiser White, Hassan Reddick, and, you know, he added, you know, the Kobe Dean, obviously, Kyron Johnson, both in the draft. You know, it's just kind of been an amazing transformation in that locker room. With these linebackers, and now they have 12 of them. They're probably going to have to cut half by the end of the summer, but you know, you can't complain about the linebacking group. That's a solid group of linebackers that they have right now in that room.
Off topic, before we get into the schedule discussion, it looks like there's a little bit of discussion going towards the interior of the offensive line and where the Eagles go with right guard to replace Brandon Brooks. I know, you know, we've talked about Isaac Seumalo. The recent talk is obviously, and I, you know, Honest NFL on Twitter brought this up, and I think a lot of people are starting to discuss it now. And I want to discuss it with you because I think it's, you know, we've talked about this subject before, who fills in at right guard. And my, I was on the fence with saying, put Dickerson there. You know, he's played right guard in college, putting next to Lane and Jason Kelce. I don't think you'd miss a beat, but I think the Eagles, and I think I was wrong. I'm looking back on it now because I only said that a couple of weeks ago, but I think I was wrong. I think the Eagles want a decade plus of Jordan Mailata and Landon Dickerson. And I think that's the right move. That is the right move to pair those guys for a decade plus is going to pay huge dividends for the left side of the offensive line, especially when Cam Jurgens comes in, takes over for Jason Kelce. He's going to have the left side of him solidified. So that makes complete sense to me. I'm off that train now. Landon Dickerson has to be the left guard of this team. Seumalo, I mean, again, you're transitioning from side to side. I don't think it's going to be the easiest transition either, but I think he can do it because we all forget, as you say, Seumalo had a ton of position versatility before he even came to the Eagles as is at Oregon State. He's played right guard before. He's played right guard for the Eagles before. So I do believe that he can do it, but the more proven guy on their roster is Jack Driscoll to play right guard. I think this team really does like how he played the right guard last year and how he answered the filling in for Brandon Brooks and so on and so forth, Renee Herbig as well. I'm wondering where you are with this decision. Who are you right now keeping your eye on right guard?
Yeah, well, I think Seumalo is better.
I agree. You know,
but again, can he transition from side to side? Now, he did that at Oregon, but that was years ago. I think he came into the draft, you know, in 2016 when the Eagles took Carson Wentz. Isaac Seumalo was the next pick in the third round. So I think he's a better player. But whether or not the Eagles feel that way, I know Nick Sirianni loves Jack Driscoll, loves him. And I think Driscoll's going to be given every chance to win that job. And then Seumalo becomes more of a depth piece. And we'll have to see the health of Seumalo. You know, he gets dinged up. And, you know, listen, Jack Driscoll doesn't stay healthy. He's no, you know, Cal Ripken either. He's no Iron Man. He's not answering the bell every game his first 2 years. In the league, he's ended the season on IR. So, you know, you really can't count on him at this point, I would say. But, you know, to start the year, yeah, I would say he's certainly in the mix. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how Seumalo feels about going to the bench to become a depth piece after years of starting for this
team. That's a favorable trade chip, to be honest with you. I agree with you. He's better. He's a better player than Jack Driscoll. I agree with that. I mean, one of my hit pieces for SI was on Isaac Seumalo and not. You know, this production he's had ever since, you know, 2018, he's been better and better and better each year. He just can't stay healthy, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that contract is incredibly favorable. That contract is so favorable. If I'm a team that needs interior help, which, again, the NFL is a league that always can use offensive line help, and I'm not starting Isaac Seumalo, I understand how important offensive line depth is to the Philadelphia Eagles team and how important it is league-wide, but, man, I'm listening to offers.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, listen, they already lost Nate Herbig. You know, that's a pretty big depth piece on the interior when they released him and the Jets scooped him up right away. But, you know, to get rid of another depth guy on the interior, I think that would be problematic in the long term. So it would have to be a really sweet offer if you're going to part ways with Seumalo. I don't see it. I could see maybe Andre Dillard. Certainly being dealt. They have some pieces on the outside at tackle, you know, with Raven Clark and Brett Toth. But, you know, and then Dillard can only play left tackle. And, you know, he can start at left tackle. I don't know what teams need a left tackle, but clearly nobody, you know, really needs one right now, or they'd probably be in touch with the Eagles. But things could change through the summer. But, you know, to me, he's more of a likely candidate to get dealt than I would say Isaac Siamalu, unless the deal is really, really sweet for Siamalu. But it's going to be tough to part with an interior lineman. And I guess some of it depends on how Cam Jurgens develops. You know, there's talk of him learning how to play guard while, you know, he waits for Jason Kelce to retire to take over at center. So if Jurgens, you know, can show that, you know, he can play some guard, then maybe that changes things too with Siamalu. But, you know, that's a lot of balls in the air right now. To answer the initial question, I would say Driscoll, yeah. Driscoll's going to be given the opportunity to start at that right guard spot with Siamalu. And maybe Jurgens. You know, if Jurgens comes out and picks it up quick, who knows? Maybe Jurgens is in that mix too. But Driscoll, I know Sirianni loves Driscoll, so he's going to be given an opportunity.
Let's get into the schedule, though. This schedule is looking pretty favorable for the Eagles, if you ask me, in my opinion. I think bare minimum, they win 11 games.
Okay. Yeah, I would say 10 or 11. Everybody says it's an easy schedule. I don't know, but I guess. I mean, if you're
30th ranked.
I know. I don't know how they arrive at it, you know, some sort of analytics. But, you know, they play the Steelers. That's tough. They play the Titans. They're the number one seed from last year. They play the Packers. They were the number one seed last year. I mean, those are three tough games. And then you have to go to the Colts, you know, who probably should have been in the playoffs last year. I mean, that's a tough game. You have Houston, the Texans on a short week. You know, they should beat the Texans, but again, short week. And then you have the Chicago Bears. Everybody thinks it's a win, but that's sandwiched in between two other road games, two division games. So that looks like a trap game. And, you know, listen, I think the opener against the Lions is not a gimme either. I mean,
I agree with that off as a win,
but I, you know, the Lions, you know, in the second year in Dan Campbell,
they improved a lot.
They have improved. And listen, I feel a lot better with James Bradbury and, you know, the matchup with Jameson Williams, you know, their rookie that they picked, they zoomed up the draft board to pick him.
They don't just have just him though. They have Brown, Amara St. Brown, and then they had DJ Shark. They signed Shark this offseason. They got
I mean, I think the Lions aren't going to be the knockover everybody thinks. So everybody says it's an easy schedule and, you know, the schedule changes week to week in the NFL, you know, injuries factor in, but and I know analytics say it's the 30th ranked schedule as far as being easy. But I'm not quite sold on that. I still think that the Eagles were a 9-win team last year. They've gotten infinitely better this year. So they should at least win one more game, probably two. So, yeah, 10-11 feels right. Probably I would lean toward 11. But it's not as easy, I think, when everybody looks at it and says, oh, this schedule's easy. You got to play the Cowboys twice. They're the defending champs, and I know they didn't have a very good offseason. But the Eagles haven't beaten them recently. Right. They've lost six out of the eight games in the last couple of years against the Cowboys. Prescott chews them up. Hurts is 0-2 against Dallas. So, you know, to me, there's no easy game on this schedule. I just don't see it. I mean, you can make an argument for the ones that everybody thinks is easy. That it's not going to be easy. I mean, the Steelers aren't going to just roll over this year. Yeah, they could have a quarterback issue, but their defense is really good. T.J. Watt can put a hurting on you. But I don't know. The Vikings, is that an easy game?
The thing I like about the schedule so far is you're catching the Vikings when they're trying to establish a whole entire different system, different team. I mean, they're going from the Mike Zimmer defense first to Kevin O'Connell's fast paced Sean McVay Ram offense. That's not going to just happen overnight. That's favorable for the Eagles to catch that so early. Washington, I think what plays to the Eagles' advantage is the defense of Carson Wentz better than anybody. You know, they know his tendencies. They picked him off in practice all the time. They know what he likes to do. And James Bradbury is one of his favorite wide receivers. So I think that's a favorable game for the Eagles as well. Doug, you're catching the Jaguars when they're trying to establish Doug Peterson's culture. And that's not going to be a four-week process. They're not going to be done by week four of establishing that. That's going to be a huge turnover from what Urban Meyer was doing to going into what Doug Peterson was doing. I think that's favorable to catch. Because again, I think Jacksonville is very talented too. I think they will turn it around. But when you're catching these teams like Minnesota with their new coach and trying to establish their culture, Jacksonville, Arizona without DeAndre Hopkins is huge. Huge to me. Huge. Dallas, catching Dallas this early when they're trying to figure it out how to replace Amari Cooper and they didn't really bring in any adequate additions to replace him, is huge for me too, because that passing offense, I don't care what the Dallas fans say, I don't care what anybody else says. Look what happened to that team prior to Amari Cooper arriving, and then look what happened after. Dak hit a whole new level of quarterback play. I don't think he's going to drop off significantly. I think the passing offense will, though, without Amari Cooper, and they didn't replace him. So I think catching these teams early is favorable for the Eagles to establish themselves as a, you know, a 5-1, 6-2 team, you know, to start off the gate. And that's what's going to help them when they get into those tougher games, like you're saying. Like Indianapolis isn't going to be a slouch, and they're on the road against Indianapolis. I agree with you. Green Bay, they struggled with Green Bay. Tennessee, I agree with you as well, but, you know,
that's a tough three-game stretch.
A.J. Brown's going to want to go off, you know. Yeah. I don't know if, you know, if the Eagles can become a way better run defense this year, that game becomes way more favorable for the Eagles. The Bears, I do agree with you on the Bears, though. I think people are sleeping on the Bears. The Saints, too, as well, at the end of the season. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things on the line, considering what the Saints are wanting to do in the South. If the Buccaneers win that division again, they're going to be making a wild card push with all the additions that they made as well. That game's going to be the toughest, I think. I'm looking at the schedule in the glance, and I'm thinking at the end of the season, if the Eagles are trying to make a playoff push, catching Dallas and the Saints is a tough stretch right there for that, trying to make that push. That's where all I see is where I'm thinking that. But at the beginning of the season, I think the Eagles can establish themselves as one of the better teams right out the gate.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, listen, you talk about A.J. Brown going off. I mean, Zach Ertz, you know, you think they might try to design some plays when they go to Arizona for Ertz, especially without, you know, D-Hop.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Carson Wentz, two games against the Eagles.
It's funny because
you get one of those wins. I don't know. I think Carson Wentz is going to be pretty fired up to beat the Eagles.
Oh, no, for sure. I have a feeling that they split with Washington this year. I don't think it's going to be a clean sweep. But I'm telling you right now, that team knows how to get Wentz uncomfortable. That defense knows. And they will take advantage of that. And when he gets uncomfortable, we see what happens. We've all seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. Jahan Dotson, we'll see how he acclimates, the rookie.
Yeah, but the thing we can't ignore is Washington did upgrade a quarterback. Taylor Heineke was not something that teams really took seriously. So, you know, Carson Wentz being what he is, a volatile starter, you know, he's going to be erratic. But he's going to have some good plays there in the end. Washington did upgrade. You have to acknowledge that. But I think it plays into the Eagles' favor knowing the guy better than their backhands. That's why I look at that as a favorable thing for the Eagles, because I think, you know, Brandon Graham knows his tendencies. If I pressure him on this side, he's going to go roll out there, and he might be throwing the interception there. Like, that's – I just see them having that to their advantage. But I think they split with Washington. I don't think they sweep them.
About Dallas, I mean,
I think they split with Dallas this year. I think they finally split with Dallas this year. Okay. Because I'm telling you right now, a huge reason why they would lose to Dallas is because of Amari Cooper. They could never find an answer for Amari Cooper, and now that he's finally gone, CeeDee Lamb is great.
Yeah,
you know, Michael Gallup's very good. These guys aren't Amari Cooper yet, though, Ed.
Yeah, Dallas has tight ends. The Eagles' biggest problem during the season was guarding tight ends.
And still going to be.
It should not be this year, but we'll see. You know, Dalton Schultz is good. They got a lot of rave reviews from Jake Ferguson, the rookie fourth-round pick from Wisconsin during rookie camp. You know, they have Blake Jarwin, who's a capable tight end. Tight ends are still going to be dangerous in that Dallas offense. I mean, I know everybody says, oh, they lost Cooper and Collins and Williams on the offensive line and, you know, Randy Gregory. But, you know, they've still got some talent in Dallas. And, you know, those are going to be two very tough games. That game on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve, where the Eagles have to go to Dallas, I mean, that's an L. That's about as big as L as you can find on this schedule. They're not winning that game. So they got to win that game early in the season on Sunday Night Football here in Philadelphia if they want to split.
I'm not ready to say that. The Eagles play better. I don't want to say they play better in Dallas, but they've pulled some upsets up in Dallas.
Yeah.
But we'll see. That's a fair opinion.
You know, they go to Giants, they go to the Bears, and they go to that. That's a lot right around the holidays, you know, for guys to go in. And it's like, you know, here we are, Christmas Eve, third straight game away. That's a tough task.
Absolutely. Listen,
do you want to just go through and, you know, give our quick wins and losses with each game? We'll total them up and see what we got.
Let's do it.
All right, Lions, first game.
I have a win, but that's going to be tougher than, like you're saying. That's, you know, if the Eagles win, I think they squeak it out 6 points most.
Okay. I know they hammered them last year, but I'm going to go L here.
They lose after all this crazy offseason, they start the season off losing the Lions. Philadelphia's going to burn the ground.
I know. I'm here to see it, though. I want to see it. I'm going to go L. But listen, I got him rebounding quickly. So let's go on here. So Minnesota Monday night.
Catching Minnesota at home against this new coaching staff, it's just too favorable. I'm going W.
I'm going W as well. Big rebound game for the Eagles after losing to the Lions in the opener. Washington, at Washington.
They don't really lose at Washington. It seems like if they're going to lose to Washington, it's going to be in Philly, which just sucks to say, but they don't lose in Washington. So I'm going to go Eagles there.
Yeah, I'm going to go Eagles as well. I think, you know, even though Carson Wentz will be fired up, sometimes a fired up Carson Wentz can work against Carson Wentz, and he tries to get too perfect, I guess you could say, and he'll force some balls. And, you know, with Bradbury and Slay now, I think Wentz could be in for a long game. So I'll go W in Washington. Now we got the Jags at home.
I'm going W here too, just because it's going to be too much for Doug. This is a tougher job for Doug Peterson than it was when he first took over the Eagles after Chip Kelly. I'm just being honest. It was very tough then too as well. But this is going to be a little bit tougher because the franchise is already a disaster as is before Urban Meyer was even arrived. So this is going to be a tougher job for Doug Peterson. I don't think he can establish the culture this early into the season. If it was later into the season, though, this would have been a trap game for me. This would have been my Chicago Bears for me if this was later into the season. But now I'm going to go with W, which
it's going to be a fun game. You know, with some of the veterans on this Eagles team that won a Super Bowl with Doug, there's not many of them left. But, you know, they did have Doug for a few more years after that. So he's very familiar with this team. And maybe that plays into the Jags' favor. But I'm with you. I'm not ready to go there with the Jags pulling an upset. So I'll go with the win. So you're having 4-0 here, Connor, heading to Arizona to the desert. I have them 3-1. What do you think happens out in the desert with no D-Hop? But with Zach Ertz.
Yeah, see, this is tough too. Arizona's defense took a step back, though. We can't forget that. They take a step back this year. Their best corner right now is Byron Murphy, who's, you know, a nickel hybrid. Their outside corners are Jeff Gladney, and they still haven't figured out cornerback too. Jeff Gladney's missed a year. He's going into like really his second season now. With no D-Hop, you know, this game's going to be tough still. It's going to be tough. I'm going to go with the W here just because I don't think Arizona's defense without Chandler Jones, without a number one corner, I don't think they're going to be able to handle the Eagles, especially the D-Hop. You know, a lot of things go in the Eagles' favor here, and I think it's going to be a tight game because, again, it's in Arizona. That's not going to be easy at all. Kyler Murray is still Kyler Murray at the end of the day, folks, whatever you think about him. That's your opinion, but he's still a great quarterback in this league. Tough matchup. I can go either one here, but I'm just going to go with W because I think there's too many things going against Arizona that would play advantage to the Eagles. Because no number one corner, so that's advantage for Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. The safeties are good, so Dallas Goedert might be in for a rough day. No D-Hop, James Bradbury, Darius Slay, Avante Maddox go up against A.J. Green, Marquise Hollywood Brown, Rondale Moore. Zach Ertz, who we probably think goes off. I think Ed's going to go with an L here, but I'm going to go with the W, which is crazy. 5-0 to start off. That would be incredibly exciting for the Eagles, but you can go either way with this one, but I'm going to go with the W.
Suddenly all those Miami Dolphins from 1972 are paying attention, right? Uh-oh, undefeated Eagles, 5-0. I'm going with an L. You're right. So I got him 4-2, 3-2. You got him 5-0. And now we're going to Dallas at home. What do you got there?
I have an L.
Ooh,
I have no fun. Yeah, as much as I hate to say it, I don't know why they just struggle with Dallas at home. It seems like I know a couple of games have been meaningless for the Eagles lately when Dallas plays in Philadelphia, but I don't know. They just struggle with Dallas at home. It seems like for the first couple of games that come to my mind, and they're not gonna. I think they'll be lucky to split with Dallas this year because that's improvement, folks. They've been being swept by them lately, so I think they. They split with Dallas this year. I think they take their first loss of the season now and get humbled real quick.
Okay. Well, I have them losing on Christmas Eve to Dallas, and I think they're going to split. So I have them winning this game. And then they have their bye, and they come out of the bye, and they play the Steelers. Always a tough game against the cross-state rival. What do you have here? Who knows who will play playing quarterback, but what do you think? Win-loss?
I think a lot of people are going to say this is a win because of the quarterback issue, but I'll tell you right now, Ben Roethlisberger, Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky are going to be upgrades over a 2021 Ben Roethlisberger. That's how bad he was. And the Steelers still made it to the playoffs with that defense and Mike Tomlin. I think this is a game where you go into it thinking, We're 5-1. We're a very good team. Steelers are still trying to figure out a quarterback. Let's take it easy. And that's the wrong way approach to have it. And they lose because of that approach. Because Mike Tomlin's still a superior coach. You have to acknowledge that. You have to play up to your coaching rival. And that defense is still electric. It's still great. And it's still going to be going into the season. So I think that, you know, coming off as two losses after starting 5-0 would be really tough for the Eagles. But I think it humbles them, because I think when you take these two losses to teams that are playoff caliber teams this early into the season, it shapes you. It molds you into taking these games, you know, towards the end of the season way more seriously. Really just makes the culture of the team, makes shifts this whole entire season around, in my opinion. So I think they take an L here, but I think it's a good L to take.
Wow, back-to-back losses after a 5-0 start. I'm going to go with the loss here also. I have them 4-3. You have them 5-2, and they're heading to Houston on the short week Thursday night.
Yeah, they're taking a win here.
Yeah,
Houston's a mess. Yeah. I think they're going in the right direction, though. I just don't think they picked the right coach. I like Davis Mills a lot. I'm glad they're giving Davis Mills another chance, because I think he deserves it with how awful that team was last year. But they are building. They have a lot of young pieces on that team that are going to be better in the long term for them, but not in year one.
I'll go W too. I just think the Eagles roster is better, and they win this game, and then they have 11 days off, and they go to Washington on Monday Night Football. You had them winning in the opener against Washington, as did I. What do you think in the rematch?
Man, this really hurts to say. I do have an L here, because I think they split with Washington, and if Carson Wentz comes into Philadelphia and wins, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. You're never going to hear the end of it. But I do have an L here, because I do think they split with Washington this year. And if I have them winning earlier in the season, I'm going to have them losing later in the season then. So that's just my, you know, maybe Eagles fans rather hope that they lose in Washington and win in Philly. Maybe you rather have that situation. But either way, I had them splitting with Washington, so I'll take the L here.
Yeah, so let's see. You have them 6-3 now after nine games. I have them 5-4 because I have them losing as well. Although I'm not really sold on that. I think they could sweep the Commanders this year, but I'm going L here. And then they have, that's two losses or a loss coming out of the bye and a loss going into the bye. And then they go to the Colts. Tough game. It's a tough three-game stretch at Indy, Green Bay, and Tennessee at home. What do you got here with Indy?
You can't miss the underlying theme here is that the teacher's going against the student in this game. Nick Sirianni is a student of Frank Reich. You can't forget that. That usually goes in favor of the teacher. I don't have it going in favor of the teacher this time around, though. I do believe the Eagles will beat the Colts. That team is going to be better than they were last year, but Matt Ryan has no mobility whatsoever. That's going to play to the Eagles' advantage. Jonathan Taylor is obviously going to be a very tough matchup for them. They have to be better against the run this year if they are, which they should be expected with all the additions that they made. I think this is a team that they can handle. Yes, I do have them winning this game, because I don't think Matt Ryan's going to be able to pass it on this Eagles defense. They'll lean on the run, and if you lean on the run against the Eagles this year, I expect them to be much better against the run, and I think that will play to the Eagles' advantage. So yeah, I have them winning this game.
Yeah, me too. I think Jordan Davis helps with that Jonathan Taylor matchup in the run game, so that's a win. Back-to-back home games against the defending number one seeds in the playoffs in the NFC and AFC, starting with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. What do you think?
I have them winning. As much as crazy as it sounds, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is giving the Eagles struggles, but they have beaten him. They beat him on the ground in Green Bay. No Davante Adams is going to make a huge difference. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Leaning on Christian Watson, leaning on Sammy Watkins, who's not going to – we already know Sammy Watkins is not going to probably be healthy around this time when the Eagles play them anyways. Mm-hmm. They just don't have the weapons. You know, they're going to lean on Aaron Jones heavily this game, and I expect, like we keep saying, the Eagles be way better against the run. And Aaron Jones is a great receiver as well. But it's going to be a tight game, but I think the Eagles are going to pull off the upset here and beat the Packers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they beat Aaron Rodgers here. I just don't think the Packers are as good as people think. Obviously, Rodgers is a great equalizer in the talent department, but I still have the Eagles winning at home going into the Tennessee game, another tough game. Everybody says the A.J. Brown revenge game. What do you have to say, win or loss?
Win. I'm going to go with a win here because I think Tennessee got a lot worse this offseason. I think they got a lot worse, and I think that Bengals game, it was very deflating for them. And, you know, they do have Robert Woods. They do have Treylon Burks. But again, Treylon Burks is a rookie. How much impact is he going to have in year one? I don't think he's going to be as significant as much as, you know, what A.J. Brown could have been doing for them. Derrick Henry, still Derrick Henry. He's going to be, you know, probably the best running back in the league next year, as it usually is. And at the tops of the rushing lengths as well. But I don't think the Titans are that good. I think it matches. I think, I don't want to say I don't think the Titans are that good, because I think they win the South again this year. But I think if you're looking at a matchup wise, A.J. Brown is definitely going to have revenge on his mind, which plays in favor to the Eagles. Who on that secondary is going to get A.J. Brown? Christian Fulton? I don't believe that. I just think if you're looking at matchup and matchup, you know, Titans, you could say the Titans are the better team than the Eagles, but I think this Eagles favored the matchup this time around. So I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I think these are going to be – this is the third straight physical game, I think, in a row for them with the Colts, Titans, and Packers. I'm going to go with a loss here against Tennessee. I don't know. I just think it's tough to ask a team to beat two number one seeds in back-to-back weeks. Even though they're both at home, I'm going to go with an L here. So let's see. I have them 7-5 now, and you have them –
I have them being the Giants.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, right. The Giants. Yeah, I have a win there as well.
It's okay. So that's going to be 10-3. It's just getting a little too favorable.
I have 8.
I agree with you with the Bears game, actually. I'm going to go with the loss on the Bears, because especially since it's away in Chicago, I think that's going to be playing down to your opponent issue.
I think they win. Tough game, but I think they find a way to win. Again, better roster. Eagles are going to hit their stride here over the final couple games here. So I have a win, 9-5. You have a loss, 10-4. We're in the same park. And then they wrap up this three-game road trip to Christmas Eve in Dallas. We already know I have a loss. What do you have? You have them splitting, but you had them losing in Philly. So you have,
a win here.
Okay. All right. You got them with 11 wins here with 2 to go.
Haven't played the Saints when they've had their starting quarterback. It's been Taysom Hill. It's been Trevor Siemian. If Jameis Winston is healthy, I had them losing this game.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be for playoff implications on both sides. I think both teams play incredibly well, but I'm going to have them dropping this game.
Yeah, I have them winning. I think the Saints, you know, remember the Eagles have the Saints first round pick next year. So that gives them a little bit more motivation to kind of keep the Saints, you know, pile up as many losses as you can and make that pick better. So, you know, I have them with a win. So now we have them both 11-5 heading into the final game at home against the Giants. What do you think about this one?
I'm going with the win. I don't think the Giants are going to be, I think the Giants are going to be the worst team in the NFC East this year.
Yeah. I think so.
And it's crazy to say, because I think they had the best draft of the NFC East. I think they are going to take some time to figure themselves out. You know, Joe Sheen's not a veteran GM. Brian Daboll's not a veteran head coach. You know, they brought in guys that are doing their first years on the job. And I think there's a lot of pieces of this Dave Gettleman team that need to be neutered still, to be honest with you. And it's starting with the quarterback position. I think they're going to figure out this year that he's not the guy. So I think it's going to take them some time to figure out that he's not the guy. And when they do, you're looking at Tyrod Taylor as the other option. I don't see the Giants being able to beat the Eagles, especially now with James Bradbury on the other side.
And what about Boston Scott,
and the Giant Killer Boston Scott.
Yeah,
I think the Eagles sweep the Giants again this year.
All right, so 12-5. I have a
not again. Sorry, they lost to the Giants last year, but I think they do sweep the Giants this year.
That's right, 13-7. What a dud game that was.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, that was on you, bud.
Yep. All right, so I have a win. 12. I don't know how I have them with 12 wins. I said 10 or 11.
Bare minimum is 11 for me.
Yeah,
it would be disappointing if they didn't, to be honest with you, because of all the talent they have.
And it's funny, we both have the same number of wins, 12. Yet we have a completely different way.
Of getting there. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Last question to you before the episode ends. The Eagles made, you could tell that they made the necessary moves they needed to do to put Carson Wentz in the position to make a sophomore leap as a starter. I would say they did it even better this time around for Jalen Hurts. Would you agree?
Let's see. What did the Eagles do sophomore year? They signed Jeffrey, Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith. you know, defense that Chris Long, Patrick Robinson, who was a big piece, LeGarrette Blount, who interestingly signed May 17th, 2017, right. And the Eagles signed Bradbury May 18th. So 5 years and one day between, you know, those guys signing. Yeah, that's a good question, man. I would say the 2017 sophomore build around Wentz was better, but if the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year, I'll change my mind. So, but I think it's hard to say this year is better because of what that 2017 offseason produced, a Super Bowl champion. I mean, that's right. Tough. You know, but it's a great question and, you know, something you should probably write about. But I think that, I'll say 2017 just because we already know what the result was. Super Bowl. We don't know what it's going to be this year, but if it's Super Bowl, then I might change my mind. What do you think?
I think it has better replications because it looks like it's going to be more long-term sustainable. What I mean by that is AJ Brown is going to be your wide receiver one for years. Alshon, you didn't know because you brought him in on a rental contract, hoping it would work out. And it did for a couple years. It did for a couple years. It's going to work out longer with AJ Brown. Yeah. I mean,
and Hassan Reddick, 3 years versus, you know, 1 year for Long, 1 year for P. Rob.
And Long stayed for a couple of years, and I think it's going to be around the same time as Hassan Reddick. But originally, you know, and no discredit to Chris Long, because he was really the Eagles' best pure pass rusher during that era of the Eagles' dominance. Yeah. But so is Hassan Reddick. Hassan Reddick is a 10-plus guy.
Yeah.
The Eagles built a contender out of this offseason. The Eagles built a – because they were competitive in 2018 and 2019. They were playoffs all those 3 years still.
Yeah.
So I think the Eagles at least replicated that formula in the sense of they built a consistent contender. Because I'm telling you folks right now, I think this is a playoff team for the next couple of years. You can win in this league regardless of how your quarterback is playing. As silly as that sounds, as long as he's playing a game-managing type role, you can win in this league. It's been proven time and time again. If the quarterback can just manage the game, you can go to the playoffs with him. Absolutely. With a talented roster. And I would argue the Eagles have that. So I believe that this offseason is close to that, just in fact that you built a long-term contender with the positions that you addressed. Because James Bradbury's deal is a one-year deal, but so was Chris Long's. So was Alshon's. You know, the Eagles have proven time and time again, if something works out and they like you, they'll keep you. So I think they built a contender for long term, like they did. And when I say long term, 3 years in the NFL is very, very long time. Very long time. That's a very, very long time. Three seasons of going to the playoffs back to back to back, that's not very obtainable. So I think the Eagles did that this year.
Dude, that's a great topic for discussion. I mean, really, you know, we could build a show on that, and you throw it out as the last question to end the show. But
I know, I mean, we got to end it too because
it needs further exploration, you know, in future pods, in print, whatever you want to do. But I think that's a great question and probably should be explored even when we have more time, I guess.
And I'd like to hear what the viewers think too.
Yeah,
definitely let us know. You can always talk to us on Twitter. We're always answering everybody. Let us know. What do you think about this question? Do you think the Eagles built a long term? Do you think the Eagles aided Jalen Hurts' sophomore season as a starter as well as they did Carson Wentz's? Because I agree that they did.
Or do you think this offseason for Howie has been better than the 2017 offseason? I mean,
I think a lot of people are going to be like you. They're going to say, I need to see that final result before I make that answer. But it's fair to project because the long term,
I like that.
What I'm saying is looking very good prospect wise from what the positions that they brought in. So let us know what you guys think. And we'll see you all very soon.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.